Welcome to Real Estate and You. I'm your host, Scott Allison. I've got Randy Harris with me, one of our fine constables here in San Angelo. We're going to talk about what's going on in the world around us as far as renting and being a landlord. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Sponsors.
You
say that again, that last time. Right.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Welcome back to Real Estate and You. Hey, Randy.
Hey, how's it going?
I know how busy y'all stay, but thank you so much for taking time out to kind of visit with us and let our listeners hear what's going on.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Hey, let's talk a little bit what we were talking about earlier. With the COVID going on, things the rules have changed. What's going on?
Well, there was an act called the CARES Act, which kind of protected folks that were under housing assistance from the Housing and Urban Development, or they were financed, the properties financed through Fannie Mae, which kind of put a moratorium on that. If they were under the CARES Act, evictions could not go forward. But if they were not, they could still go forward. Well, that has expired as of the end of August, but President Trump signed an order directing the CDC to come out with guidelines for evictions, which those are supposed to be.
Who's the CBC?
Centers for Disease Control.
Got it. Okay.
Centers for Disease Control. So they have come out with a new set of rules that are supposed to be in effect on the 4th of September. And it, I guess you'd say it halts evictions on people, but they have to have four criteria. Number one, they have to be have less than $98,000 a year income. Have to prove that. They have to prove that they have applied for renter assistance during that time. And they have to sign an affidavit that they have been affected by COVID, either through job loss or something like that, and they cannot keep up with their rent. But I also understand it says in the text of that order that it does not relieve them from paying rent. So there's a lot of concerns about that from the landlords who still have to pay mortgages and things like that. So right now, the justices of the peace are waiting for the Justice Court Training Center, their state legal board, to come up with some directions, or for the Texas Supreme Court to come up with some directives on how to deal with this particular new rule.
What about, and I have a lot of friends that I went to school with here that are working in the restaurant industry, waiters and different stuff. And even though they still have a job, so-called, their income is about half or less than what it normally is because of the 50% rule and a lot of people not eating out. What about people in that situation?
Well, you know, the only thing that you can do in that situation is try to support those local restaurants.
Yes.
I know that's what we do on duty. We try to think, okay, where have we not been? You know, the mom and pops that are not a national chain, that you know, do not have the depth to come up with that money. Who has a mom and pop place that we need to go support and help them out? And that's what I encourage, you know, anybody in the public to do is go support your local restaurants, whether through takeout or whether through dine-in.
And I agree with you 100%. We've done the same thing. Not necessarily, like you said, the franchises, but our little mom and pops that are really hurting.
Right.
And actually, we have great mom and pop restaurants here that have delicious food.
Yes, absolutely.
So good. Okay, let's kind of go on, if COVID didn't exist anymore, which I hope it won't pretty soon. And you're the landlord. What rights do you have as a landlord?
With COVID not existing, you know, it all comes down to what your lease agreement is. And as I was mentioning earlier today, that there's a lot of leases that have gone bad. Now, the way the state law defines it, in summary, is a lease agreement is a written or oral agreement that sets or defines the standards of what the agreement is, changes conditions and everything like that. So it's basically, you can live here for this. Now, where they kind of come into a lot of conflict, or the landlords, is they will just do an oral lease. And that's it. Okay, well, you move in and you pay so much a month, and that's it. That is a binding lease agreement, but there's no terms or conditions of the lease other than pay the monthly rent, you can live there. And then all of a sudden, the landlord has an issue with the tenant, and it's not covered in that agreement. So it's a very, very bad practice to do an oral lease agreement. But there's also things that where they come in to play where they have a good, valid lease agreement written, But then things kind of go sideways on them, and they think they have more rights than they actually do. And I can give you some examples of things recently that have popped up and that are kind of regular occurrences.
Well, we don't do oral agreements.
Yes.
In fact, what my property manager does, and I don't care for property management. I'll be honest with you. I have somebody that does that job,
mm-hmm.
and Gilmore does it for me. But she does a criminal background check and she does a credit check. Mm-hmm. And I've had people get mad. I mean, even blast us on Facebook and different places because we wouldn't lease to them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a reason we don't. If you haven't paid your bills before, you're probably not going to pay them now. And we represent the landlord.
Right.
So the oral, that would be a horrible deal. Yeah. Could you give us some examples of stuff you've had to deal with lately?
Yeah. Say, for example, here comes an oral agreement. And then they let the person move in. Then they let other people move in with them. And either it's just by, okay, you can move in, which that in turn, if they refuse to leave, the landlord wants everybody out. Well, and he has no written lease that says no unauthorized tenants or anything like that. It ends up being what our state legal board calls an at-will lease. So if they refuse to leave, it's an at-will tenant, and that at-will tenant still has to be evicted. So it's like, well, I don't have an agreement with them. Well, I'm sorry, but they made some sort of agreement with them. And sometimes it even goes further into the actual tenant they rented to doing a sublease with another tenant. And we see a lot of that where the landlord wants them out and the original tenant says, well, you can move in as long as you wash the dishes or help me pay bills or do things like that. And that actually creates a second sublease agreement that the original landlord is no party to. And then the first tenant wants the second one out and they're like, well, you know, law enforcement is going to say, no, you have to evict them. You created a lease agreement with them, so you're going to have to evict them. Not the landlord, but the first tenant's going to have to evict that person that they issued the sublease with or the person they allowed to move in.
Wow.
It's a mess.
Yeah, we haven't had that. What we have had, and a question on this one, is we have a deal that says no pets.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you go by there and there's two big dogs in the backyard.
Yeah.
What about that?
Well, if it says no pets, see, most people think evictions have to do with rent. Evictions have to do with violations of lease agreement, whether it's paying rent or two pets. You still have to evict them. You can give them, you know, try to reconcile it yourself with the dogs, but then otherwise you file an eviction based on the violation of terms of lease agreement, no pets, and you go through with eviction. You just have to prove they have pets and everything else when you go to court.
Wow. So the whole deal. Let's talk about, okay, now flipping the switches here. As a tenant, what rights do I have? Because I've had some, and being in the middle, mm-hmm. you know, the landlord says, hey, I'm barely covering my payment on my house by mm-hmm. the rent. And the renter says, I'm paying a whole lot of money in rent. I want it perfect. And he goes, I don't have any money to fix it. So if there's things go wrong, and we're in the middle saying, oh, no. So if I'm a tenant and I'm not getting stuff taken care of, where do I stand on that?
If you're not getting stuff taken care of as a tenant, there is what they call the repair and remedy lawsuits through the Justice of the Peace Court. But there are hoops to jump through. You have to give the landlord notice what needs to be fixed. And
written notice?
Has to be written notice. A lot of times it says return receipt if they don't take care of it.